Okay, we are calling this meeting to order for the Independent Oversight Committee for District East. It is June 14th at 5:04 p.m. and I'm going to read the conflict of interest statement. Well, I thought that's what this was, but no, this is actually a disclosure form. It's not attached to this email. Michelle, do you have it there quickly that you can read?
I do.
Okay.
So the disclosure statement is, do we have anyone that has to disclose a conflict of interest? If there is, the committee member needs to disclose why.
Okay. Then we will go to welcome and introductions. I am Susie Hussman, chairperson. Sarah?
Sarah McGovern, vice chairperson, IOC East.
Ken?
Good evening, everyone. This is Ken Kells, committee member.
Rebecca?
Rebecca Gelati, committee member.
Teresa?
Teresa Brooks, committee member.
Amy?
Amy Griffith Johnson, committee member.
And just to be sure, I got all the committee members right. I didn't miss anybody. Okay. Michelle?
Yes. Continue with the introductions?
Yes. Please.
My pleasure. Leah Gibbs, would you start us off, please?
Sure. Good evening, everyone. I'm Leah Gibbs, Administrator of the Office of Individual and Family Affairs.
Trudy O'Connor.
Good evening. Trudy O'Connor, District East Quality Assurance Manager.
Joan McQuaid.
Good evening, everyone. Joan McQuaid, Office of Individual and Family Affairs Manager, here supporting Michelle and the IOCs.
Vera Kramarchuk.
Vera Kramarchuk, Mercy Care Ombudsman.
Dawn McReynolds.
Dawn McReynolds, Office of Individual and Family Affairs Administrator at United Healthcare.
Frederica Graham.
Hello, Frederica Graham with Access IOC Manager.
My name is Michelle Rademacher. I'm the DDD, Independent Oversight Committee Liaison for District South, District West, and District North. Did we miss anybody?
And I just want to make sure Beth didn't get on while we were going through, right?
I don't see her.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. Next, we have call to the public. Do we have anyone from the public on this call? Okay. Next, we have DD policy and legislative issues. Does anybody have anything that they want to review? If not, I'm going to ask Leah if there's anything. I know there were several updates that got sent out. If there's anything we should highlight.
I'm Leah. Not seeing any from the committee. So, Susie, as of right now, we do know that there is new legislation that the governor signed in. That is a requirement through the Department of Health Services to license a new type of group home that they're calling behavior supported group home. This is work that actually kind of correlates with work the division has been doing in establishing a new type of group home that we have been referring to as enhanced behavioral group home. And what we have found is the criteria in the legislation is very, very similar to the new service that we are, we just did our first vendor call on. And our plan is that we're going to incorporate those requirements from the legislation into our service specifications for our enhanced behavioral group home service. And we will start referring to it as behavioral supported group home, but that's going to correlate with the division rolling out our new request for proposal for new qualified vendor application that's going to be hitting the streets that I'll share with you more when I do my updates. Okay. But we will be then meeting that new legislative requirement in something that we were already rolling out so that we're not confusing people with two different types of things that are addressing the same population.
Okay.
We still have not heard any, we know legislature keeps kind of coming back in session. We've not heard any updates or that there's been movement on moving forward with adding the new diagnoses of spina bifida or Prader-Willi syndrome. So at this point, it is our understanding that we will not be making those changes unless something else happens legislatively. We also have not heard that the work that was being done around supportive decision making to be codified in law here in Arizona has not been signed off yet by the governor. We do not know if it's going to roll back around or not, but if it does, we will certainly be letting you know about that and what that means for options for members about how they'd like to build their support team around themselves for planning purposes. We also know that the legislature did, in fact, sign off and the governor signed off on a budget for next year. And the budget does not include additional funds for raises to qualified vendors. And it's just something that we all need to live with moving forward. But there was funds in the budget to be able to allow for growth in the DDD, because we're still experiencing about a 5% growth year over year of new members for the program. So they did give us budgetary funds to be able to add new support coordinators to be able to support those new families as they come on board. And then none of us know what'll happen next year around budget. But those are my updates. Did you have any particular ones you were thinking about that I could help with?
No, so many came across and I didn't have the opportunity to read them. So sure. I figured that you would know the best ones to highlight for us.
We know that we'll be partnering with the Department of Health Services around what that licensure will look like around the new legislation for behavioral supported group homes. Okay. And we really don't expect any kind of significant things in that working with the Department of Health Services has gone very, very well. And the legislation does a really good job of it specifically identifying what needs to be part of that process.
Is there anything that was different than what you guys were doing?
There is. And I have to apologize that I can't get, I off the very top of my head, I don't have those with you, okay. But it's almost all of what we were building around the enhanced behavioral group home. There were just a couple of more requirements that we are in full agreement with, no problem, just okay. Adding those in. And it's the whole purpose is to make sure that we've got a foundation of direct support professionals who mm-hmm. have the right training and the right background, and that we expect that we'll be able to hopefully serve members much more effectively with these additional requirements, and then partnering with the qualified vendor community to make sure that we're supporting them, that they have access to the training they need for their staff.
Okay. Ken, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, with regards to the group home, so those current members who are in the enhanced behavioral group home, so when these behaviors for the group home becomes what it is, are there with new requirements, so will it affect the current group of members?
Right now, today, we have actually done a vendor call for our first enhanced behavioral group home that is in compliance with the new, so it's still brand new, Ken. And when we roll out these new changes, they're going to be wrapped into the new contract, and it should not affect the members in any negative way. It just means that the providers who are providing that service will have some of those additional requirements that are outlined in their contract, and it should not have any negative impact on the members.
Thank you.
It just will be referenced a different name for the group home. Rather than enhanced behavioral, it'll be behavioral supported.
Okay, Amy, go ahead.
So hi, Leah. Hi, team. It's good to see you. I know I've been seeing you a lot lately on different things. I've got a question. Is there any word on the SB 1411 yet and where that trajectory is going with guardianship?
Yep, it's not going anywhere.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
I can tell you that I didn't mean it to sound quite like that, and I apologize. But it is not being moved forward this session at all. But I can also share with you that we, the division, are starting some outreach with some of our partners in the community to develop a kind of a one-pager quick reference guide document that we can use to have support coordinators get out to families and have it posted on our webpage so that we can start doing that education when a member's about 16 and a half, so that families can start considering what are their legal options and then refer them directly to that really well built legal options guide that is published by the Arizona Centers for Disability Law, and to reference families to some of those free trainings that are available to families, like through Raising Special Kids, that they have a whole class on turning 18 and legal options that sort of follows that guide, so that we're doing a little better proactive job of letting families know what their options are. And today we had Raising Special Kids provide their training to our all staff meeting. That we had one this morning and this afternoon to make sure that our support coordinators also know what those options are about families who choose to do their own paperwork and follow that process, or if they want to use a company that will just help to develop the forms, or if they want to hire an attorney and do some of that education so that we can do a better job supporting the families.
That's good to hear. I know, obviously, some of my colleagues, including myself at ACDL, we've been watching this very, very closely and making sure, you know, like just, you know, I think it needs to be a more, how do we help those be able to ascertain those services free of charge or cheaper than to actually put everybody in one box? So
absolutely.
We'll hear about that.
Yeah, we're excited. Now, it does not mean, Amy, though, we've heard kind of rumblings that it may come back around next year, but I'm very optimistic that we'll get this done. So we'll be able to say, well, we've already done this and we have this education available, and thank you for the legislation, but we're there.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Lee. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I saw that we had two more people join, Bernice.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm so sorry. I was having technical difficulties. That would be me. I was calling and then I was able to finally join through Google Meets.
Okay, so you're the 07 number as well?
Correct. Yes, I just hung up. I was able to. Thank you. I apologize for that.
That's okay. You can go ahead and introduce yourself to the group.
Good afternoon. My name is Berenice Curro and I am PRC District East Chair.
Thank you. Okay, Leah, sorry to interrupt with that. So did you have anything else, or that was?
When it comes to legislation, that's what I have at this point.
Okay, thank you. All right, our next agenda item is DDD staff update. So, Michelle, you want to take the reins on that one?
Sure. Leo, would you like to roll right into your update?
Don't you guys get tired hearing from me? I actually do have some things that I want to apologize if some of them sound like they're redundant, but I think that we just sort of keep moving
some processes forward in our initiatives, and I'd love to keep the committee current on what's happening. I believe that I was able to report to you recently that in our current to future, which is our strategic planning initiatives for the division, we have finally been able to be released from all notices to cure that we've had historically with Access. We are now at a point that we get to refocus and start putting some energy into forward thinking initiatives while we continue to maintain compliance. And at this point in time, we've got some phase two initiatives that we are rolling out in our strategic plan. We have one that we are referencing as person-centered program development. And the whole point of it is globally, it's bigger, it is inclusive of the person-centered service planning process, but it's actually bigger than that because it's around improving the quality of our support coordination interactions with our members, the people that we serve. It's our opportunity that we've been able to do. I had let the committee know a few months ago that we've been able to make some great strides in hiring vacant positions for support coordination. And we continue to do that every month over month, but it means we have a lot of new staff on board right now for the division. And so we have established what we're calling onboarding units that are units within the districts that specifically help over a 3-month period to onboard new employees so that they have that exposure and they're mentored by someone who has experience. We're actually running we're doing graduation ceremonies for these staff who have completed their onboarding process, and it's been incredibly successful. We don't see that level of staff who come on board and get overwhelmed and leave. They're being able to learn in a pattern that works for them, that they have time to process. And by the time that they're finished with their onboarding, they're ready to start supporting families. And so that's part of this initiative, and it seems to be going very, very well. Right now, we've got two units in Maricopa County. We're about to roll out a unit that does onboarding in our Pima County in the Tucson area, and we'll be looking at rolling one out into our District North as well. So we're excited about that. We also are establishing what we're calling support coordination operations units. And these are folks that are supporting our support coordinators to be able to look behind around quality, person-centered service planning, to make sure that we are compliant in the work that we're doing, that our support coordinators are following everything that they need to do to recognize what needs to be followed up upon and at what point things are comfortable for that member and their family. We are rolling out the process of looking at becoming accredited by the National Committee of Quality Assurance, which is really exciting because it's a national opportunity to look behind for the division to make sure that our member rights are right up to speed with what is nationally best practice, that our support coordination practices are up to speed, that we are continuing to grow as a division, that we've got good processes to monitor our processes. So we're excited to roll that out. Our goal is to achieve that accreditation by late October 2024. And we have several different units working on those goals for that. We also have our ARPA funding projects. Last year, we were able to distribute what we called directed payments to our qualified vendor networks to use funds to be able to recruit and retain staff. Those funds could be used for things like bonuses or stipends or one-time payments. They were not designed to become basic wages for staff, but a way to bring people on board and keep them on board. And this year, we've been able to also send out directed payments to the qualified vendor network to continue to work on making sure that our vendors are able to hire to retain staff. Those payments all have already been distributed for the year, and our vendor community is using those funds. We are using ARPA funding also to strengthen some of our behavioral health services and supporting members. I already talked to you a little bit about the enhanced behavioral group home for the residential settings and the new legislation around that. We are also continuing, to work on our project of providing education to the agencies that provide behavioral health services to our members. As you know, our division has our DDD health plans providing physical health and behavioral health, and we do care coordination and coordinate those services, but they're the ones who have the agencies on board to provide the services. So through this ARPA fund, we're looking at a couple of avenues. We're looking at developing and working with Relias, which is a training platform that all of the behavioral health agencies have access to, and expanding the courses. Relias, as a library, has a group of courses that are designed for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities that are not currently in the network today. And we're working with the different health plan organizations to expand what's available in Relias to include additional courses. And we are working at developing our own course that is very specific to DDD and to Arizona's programs and how we coordinate and collaborate services. So we'll also have additional training available about that for all of the direct support staff in the behavioral health, as well as their counselors and their other staff in their organizations. Secondarily, we are looking at supporting a couple of two-day-long conferences to invite in folks from the behavioral health agencies. One would be down in the Tucson area, one in the Phoenix area. We would be able to offer continuing education credits to those who are able to attend and to use that time to provide this very directed training about the best practices in supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The work that we're doing around rolling out positive behavior support for our members' families who are providing their care, as well as to the direct support professionals in the agencies, is continuing to move along. There has already been a little over 10 curricula that have been reviewed. The committee that is looking at this work kind of identified a rubric of what we felt were important components that need to be addressed in these trainings. And so far, we have not found any one curriculum that kind of meets them all. But it looks like we may have the support from those who own those curriculum to work with us so that we could take some of the best parts and pull together what we think is going to really help people in Arizona be the best effective way to deliver the training. We continue to have support to be able to provide incentives to our qualified vendor network that we would pay for their trainers to come to a training so that we are providing them the information, the trainers' guides, curriculum guides, and handouts, and we're giving them the tools and support to deliver the training to their direct support professionals. And we are looking at expanding a contract through an agency that does statewide training already for families to include this and provide training support to them. In addition to rolling out a once a week kind of a technical assistance call-in opportunity that people who've received the training, who are trying to follow the techniques and trying to make things work for particular members that they support, that they have a way to call in and get technical assistance and get ideas and share ideas as we continue to roll that out. Our ultimate goal is that we should be able to start doing some train the trainers in early 2024 and then rolling it out in mid 2024. We know the ARPA funding itself is available until the end of September of 2024. As a project that we're rolling out, it's our hope that we should be able to find a way to support positive behavior support beyond the ARPA funding and roll that into part of how DDD does business and how we support our vendors and how we support our families. We are moving that one along and we're really happy about the progress that we've made. I want to back up and tell you a little more about, I mentioned that our contract, the division has what we call an RFQVA, which is Request for Qualified Vendor Applications. That's our contracting process with our qualified vendor community. We've been functioning under the same actual contract with our provider community since 2010. We've made amendments to it, but we haven't really rolled out a new contract. And so we are in the process after doing several community events and partnering with stakeholders and other organizations. We are getting ready to roll out a new contract that means all of our existing qualified vendor network would be reapplying with this new contract to continue to provide services. We've already done outreach to the vendor community. We have checked with them to make sure that we are not aware of any gaps that may occur. For example, if we have a vendor today who says, gee, I don't want to recontract with you in the future, and we are not identifying any, our vendor community has all indicated they plan to move forward with this process. If for some reason there is a decision by somebody, we will work with all members and families that are served by that vendor to make sure that services do not have gaps. But we don't expect there to be any based on the feedback we've received from the vendor community. That new contract, they're going to start receiving new applications around September of 2023, and then it will be implemented in 2024. So that's just something to be aware of. It does mean that we have put a temporary hold on allowing new people who are not contracted with us to put in new applications, because we need that time to be able to prepare for the almost 800 qualified vendors that are going to need to be reapplying and staying on board with us. And then once we get that rolled out, we will reopen up to allow people who are interested in contracting with the division to make new applications based on our service needs. So that's going to be moving forward. One of the other projects that we have been working on is we are aware that a lot of families use social media to be able to be current on what's happening and getting information. And sometimes there's misinformation out on social media. And we have partners in the community that will bring those things to our attention. We ask all of you as IOC members, if you hear something, please let me know. But one of the things that we've discussed is we want to try to be a little more proactive about getting information out to members and families. We have started the process of developing what we're calling quick reference guides, kind of one-page documents that are designed to help the community have information at their fingertips that is accurate and understandable. We've heard back from our stakeholders that sometimes we have a tendency to publish things that are at a higher level than maybe the community is understanding. And the challenge we have given ourselves is to make sure that we're writing these in plain language so that people know what we're trying to say and keep it as simple and straightforward as we can. We have also started developing a list of what we're calling influencers, folks who either have their own platforms that they use for sharing information on social media, or some of the organizations that have information that they share out. And as we publish these quick reference guides, they have agreed to help us in emailing those out to their lists of folks so that we can try and do a better job of being proactive and getting accurate information out into the public. Right now, we have two that are already published on our webpage. One of them is to support families who are trying to coordinate benefits for their pharmacy benefits. Those families who have either a private or commercial insurance plan that they're trying to coordinate with their DDD health plan or our tribal health program, and giving them some direction and support about how best to coordinate those services. We have a second one that we have published that is the most current information for families as paid providers for their minor children, letting folks know that Access did announce to us that the program is going to continue as is through November 11 of 2023. And once we have more information, we'll be sharing that out and updating that. We have several that are in production right now. We are about to release one to help families understand that with the public health emergency, there was a hold on Access doing redeterminations of eligibility of people. We kept them covered through their Access program, whether that was Access Complete Care or DDD. And we want to make sure that families are aware that with the unwinding of the public health emergency, Access is now charged with doing redeterminations for almost 2 million people who qualify for their different programs, and that will include our DDD members. And so we've got a one pager to let families know that if they're long-term care eligible, how important it is that we have their most current contact information. And then we make sure that Access is made aware of any changes in address or phone numbers. And for our members who have an Access Complete Care plan, how to work with the website, Healthy Arizona, around making sure their information is current so that nobody falls in the cracks through this redetermination process, and to help our Access partners to make sure that those things are happening as smoothly as they can. So that one is underway. We have one that is just about going to Access for approval around the use of naloxone for opioid overdoses. As sad as it is, we are seeing members in our program who have been victims of opioid overdoses, and we want to make sure that members and families know that they can access naloxone and how to use it and where to get information and what to do if they're supporting a member that they suspect has an overdose. So we're getting that one out. We have one that we're working on today around the role of a support coordinator, and to help families know what are those functions that a support coordinator does, and what do I do if I can't get a hold of my support coordinator, to understand that hierarchy around the supervisor, the area program manager, the customer service team. But we're working on that one. And if, as a committee, if there are any subjects that you would recommend would be really good quick reference guides to help families, I would really appreciate your thoughts and input. You're welcome to send me an email anytime. I think most of you have my email address. You all have Michelle's, and she can forward me any recommendations. As we're developing these guides, we are partnering with our community members and stakeholders to help us so that we're not doing them in isolation. And so if you recommend one and you want to help develop it with me, that would be phenomenal, and I'll be happy to do that. How's that for plenty?
That was a lot.
That was great.
Hi, Ken.
That is awesome. I look forward to all this. I'm excited. So,
nobody wants me bored, Ken, you know.
Anyway, yeah, I just have one question. With all this going on, how about our Article 9? Are we going to update those?
Because you know, at this point in time, we recognize that there is a need. We do have these other things like this accreditation that is a priority right now. However, Zane has absolutely made the commitment, when we are ready, we're not going to do anything independent of inviting in representatives from the independent oversight committees, as well as other stakeholders, so that when we start dialogues around Article 9, we're working it together.
Oh, okay.
But I don't have a date.
Right. Yeah, because we are looking into all the you know, the new behavior support group home and things. So I wonder if, you know, we need to update our behavior Article 9.
Just so that you know, when it comes to the behavioral supported group homes, there should not be any conflict with Article 9.
Okay.
It is today, but we still know we have that conflict around some of those issues with the ECT, the electroconvulsive therapy, and we know that is something that is being looked at.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Leah.
Thank you. Susie, see, you can say, it's too much.
Yeah.
But I want you all to know what's going on.
Thank you. No, I think we all appreciate that very much. It's good to know that you guys are doing a lot of things behind the scenes to improve the lives of our members. That's the most important thing, and that's what we want to know is happening. So,
and exactly what we're here for. So thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Michelle, you want to keep going? Calling on everybody?
Sure. Trudy, are you ready to follow up?
No, I don't get to follow Leah. Yeah. As far as our staffing updates and quality, we actually are very, very busy. We've got a lot of onboarding underway. We actually, at this time, we are onboarding 5 different people in different positions. And unfortunately, they were sort of staggered when they came in. So it's been quite a challenge to, you know, drag out all of that extra work. So we're working very hard to get people up to speed and access to everything that they need so that they can start running free and taking on some of our challenges. So, That's our big update for right now.
Great. That's a lot with 5. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, sorry. Again, I have a lot to say, right? Anyway, no. Trudy, I have to say the latest IRs that we reviewed, it was so much better than before. For some reason, you all did something to, I don't know, the templates and the way you put it, input and information. I think it was like, wow. And I was like, wow, it's never happened before. And we are more, we know what is going on. Yep. It's keep asking questions that why this one is not done. Is that, but it's all there at the bottom. One part where you'll say, okay, this has been done. This has been done. And so I just want to say that this is great. Yeah, it really
helps. I'm going to share that. Thank you.
It really helps so much. You say, why this is not done? You know how we always question. But now it's like, oh, okay, it has been done, you know, and I think this is great. Thank you, Trudy. It's awesome.
Hey, Ken, are you talking about that? What quality is inputting in their notes is?
Yeah. And the investigations and things like that is more, like you can tell more. I mean, of course, we can't see everything, but I can see that what has been done. Like when it's something in my mind that, okay, this should be done. Oops, it's already done. When you read on, it's there. They have good. Done and investigated. Yeah. So,
okay, yeah. Good. That's really good great. To know.
Yeah.
And so you see that when when we're closing a case, you're seeing all the follow-up. You might not see it initially, but then at the back end, you will.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. We're not reviewing the active. We're only reviewing the
close. Oh, good.
Because... Good. It's hard with the current ones. Usually they're brand new and they don't have any information, and we're asking you all the questions that you're going to ask. So we're just reviewing closed ones.
Yeah, that sounds like a more effective method. So that's great. Thank you for that feedback. I'm so going to share that.
Again, with the thumbs up the screen. Thank you, Trudy.
Would you like to go next, please?
Hi, everybody. We are fully staffed. And in regard to our incidents, because a lot of the agencies have already started using the new reporting form, you're probably going to notice, too, that there's a lot more information in the description portion of a lot of the incidents. And Of course, this means that our folks that are redacting have a lot more to be going through to redact, but we're keeping up with the volume, and we're just waiting now to find out when they're going to start entering incidents directly in the portal, because that's going to make the redactors work a lot easier, because they'll just go into one place and redact and be done, rather than having to pull up an incident, create a PDF, do the redaction, save it, put it in a folder so that it can then get sent to you. There's a lot of steps involved for every one of them. Once we're in the portal, we'll be going in, bringing up the incident, doing whatever redaction needs to be done, and it'll be completed. So we're looking forward to that, hopefully before the end of the year.
Great. I didn't realize they had updated the incident form. So that's good to know. We talked about that for years, that needed more detail. So
yeah, it's about, I think it's a total of 9 pages. But what it does is it, right at the very beginning, it asks, is this a member death, a medication error, or other, which is all the other incidents. So this way here, for the medication errors and for member deaths, they can be more specific in the kind of questions they're asking, especially in the medication errors. Because there's really a lot of information that is needed to make sure that everybody's has done what they needed to do after there was an error in medication. Unless, of course, with one of those members that's refusing their meds, which, you know, all they can do is just document that on a daily basis. These were the medications the member refused and the steps they took. But yeah, that's giving a lot more information for you folks to be able to, and for access. So they're able, everything in the portal, there'll be a lot more detail for them as well. So
that's great.
Trudy just put the link in the chat for the new form, so you can see for yourself how much more there is to it.
Okay, it took me to a place and then wants my email address. So I just put in my email address. We have to have a password or something?
No, that doesn't sound right. Let me see if it works differently. I'll see if I can't fix that.
Yeah, unable to sign in.
What I'll do is I'll do a PDF, and then Michelle, maybe you could send it out to everyone.
That would be great. Thank you.
Would that work?
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you, Trudy. Bernice, would you happen to have an update today?
Just a couple. We hire a second admin for PRC District East. Our admin that was hired in January is on an extended leave. So we're still behind, unfortunately, but we should be hiring a second person to help us get back on track. I believe we still have not been able to contact with an IOC person to help us with our plans. I'm not sure if there's any updates on that from IOC.
I thought I'm going to have to go back and look at our last meeting. Wasn't there somebody on the committee who said that they were going to get with Bernice? Michelle, can you look back at that and update Bernice? Because I thought we had somebody.
I thought so too, but I don't recall getting any emails in order for us to start coordinating and working on
I was under the understanding that because we didn't have anybody to be present within the meetings, we were just going to be uploading the dispositions for each member to the folder, the share folder for Google.
How many plans do you think, Bernice, are being reviewed a month?
Right now, we're doing about 10 plans per week. And I believe Ken did all the way till February. So we should have right now March, April, May, and then whatever is going on in June.
Oh, okay. You're backlogged from us then, is what you're telling me by a ways.
Correct.
I didn't realize that. Okay. All right. Bernice, I'll look back through the notes from last month and see. Unfortunately, it's out of my abilities right now. I've got too much going on with my daughter. So, but let's see, because I thought we had one or two people that were able to do that, but I don't remember who. So we'll go back and look at the notes and reach out to them and see.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I understand that we have been short on volunteers as well. PRC is on the same right now. It's hard because most people are doing vacations or, you know, it's the summertime. It's a little bit harder. So I understand. Let me know if there's anything I can do. And I'm just one email or call away. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'll take a look through the notes to see if I can help you identify what we collected at the last meeting. That's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is it for our DDD staff updates.
Okay. You didn't have anything then, Michelle, or you're waiting till the number 8?
Yeah, I was going to wait.
Okay. Okay, so we do not have Larry on, correct? We don't have anyone from ADOA.
No, Larry is on annual leave this week, so we do not have an AUA.
Well, that's rude that Larry and Jeffrey planned at the same time.
What a strange coincidence.
You put that in the house. Okay, we will go to 7, health plan liaison updates, and we've got both health plans on. So, Dawn, if you'd like to go first, if you have any updates for us.
I would, actually. Thank you. So normally when I join, I, you know, have no updates, but I wanted to update this IOC. With working closely with DDD and having the DD line in United Healthcare, I just wanted to take a brief moment and explain sort of the structure of our group so that if this IOC ever has any questions, they can contact Michelle and Michelle can send them through me. So we have our own DD liaisons that really work in conjunction with the DDD support coordinators. So on any issues that our members have, those individual liaisons work with right within our special programs team. They work in conjunction with OIFA, and we have other liaisons, but we also have our DD behavior health coordinator who also works with our DD members and our DD liaisons and DDD support coordinators. So I wanted to show and update a little bit of the coordination that occurs within our health plan with DDD. And so if this IOC ever has any questions or information that they'd like from United Healthcare, please just reach out to Michelle. She communicates with me on a regular basis, and we will certainly coordinate with DDD and try to meet the needs of this IOC. So thank you.
Thank you, Dawn. I know I have been confused personally. I've had lots of different UHC points of contact for my own personal daughter. So,
yeah, I thought it might be helpful just to kind of talk a little bit about the structure and how we're all here. We're a huge team of liaisons and advocates, and we really work very closely with Leah and her team at DDD. So I thought it might be helpful.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Vera, do you have any updates for us?
Hi. No updates from Mercy Care.
Okay. Thank you. And I realized that we didn't ask Frederica if she had anything.
Hello, I don't have anything unless you guys have any questions for me.
I do not, if anybody else does. Okay.
All right.
Michelle, it's back to you, DDD IOC liaison update.
Just a short update from me. I did want to let you guys all know that the open meeting law, sorry, I lost track of my notes here. The open meeting law training was held June 7th. A copy of the PowerPoint presentation has been provided and shared via email with all the committee members, and a copy of the audio file is available on the ADOA IOC website. If anybody needs any assistance with locating these, to me or Jeffrey, and we'd be happy to help you with that. And if you have any questions related to that, just let us know. That's what we're here for, is to help you as much as we possibly can with the open meeting law and any other needs or concerns you have. I also want to let you know that monthly DDD hosts public town hall meetings for members, families, and providers. The first Thursday of every month, DDD hosts these meetings, and they're held virtually. The next one is Thursday, July 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. DDD will present updates and announcements through that meeting. If you would like a link or assistance of finding where you can see that on the website, I'd be happy to help you. And Jeffrey is also available for that. And the last thing I wanted to let you know about is if any IOC members have want any business cards or pamphlets to use in recruiting, please let either myself or Jeffrey know. We can also provide you with volunteer coordinator's contact information. If you'd like more resources from her, they are available to you. That's it.
Thank you. Our next item is discussion, review, and possible action on committee membership. I'm assuming there isn't any potential anybody, because I haven't heard anything from you or Jeffrey that there was.
Yes, not currently.
Okay. So I don't know if we can reach out to volunteer coordinator, but having some additional people who we specifically have attend PRCs would be very helpful. So some retired individuals that have any background in behavioral health, social work kind of things would be, you know, special educators, that kind of thing would be wonderful. I don't know if they can proactively look for individuals.
Are you asking if the volunteer coordinator can proactively look for individuals under that category? Yes. And I know that she has attended some conferences and fairs, as I have as well, and will post on some professional websites for recruiting, as well as all of our community engagement events. We do include the volunteer information in efforts to recruit for those.
Okay. Okay, then our last item before adjournment is discussion and review of incident reports and behavior plans. Does anybody have any questions, comments, concerns regarding IRs or behavior treatment plans? Sarah, how are we doing with our incident report reviews? Are we behind with anything? Does everybody have their assignments?
I can resend out assignments again. Nobody has contacted me with questions about that. But we're a little behind. Of course, there was kind of a, I don't know if everybody else experienced this, but I noticed there was a rather large folder that I got that had incident reports kind of going back to November. And I think they sort of all, I got a big glut of them. So that could be some of it if some people are a little bit behind. But there are some areas that we are behind just because we have some members on leave, I think, right now. So I can go ahead and try and look at some of those and get them caught up. Those would be the main areas. I think it was physical abuse.
Okay. I see I've got some suicides and deaths here.
I'm doing the physical abuse. Am I right, Sarah?
Yeah, you got, I think that you worked on some of that, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I work on the category too. Are there new ones that is not done? Are there new ones not done?
No, I think then if you've been working on them and those are caught up, there's nothing that's egregiously behind, that's for sure. So
okay. I think, so I didn't see any comments on the May 22nd to May 31st. Wait. Or the week before that. So yeah, you can just double check there, Ken. Okay.
I mean, I can still do a couple of them, you know, a few every day, you know, since we're kind of behind a little bit, I can still do a few of them. And then hopefully by next meeting, we could all be caught up with that and hopefully some of June's.
Okay, that would be great. All right, before we adjourn, does anybody have anything else? Okay, I'm just looking at my calendar to see the next meeting would be July 12th at 5 p.m. on the same platform. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.